This is class 4 in the economics course Econ 111. In the last class, we considered the material in chapters 6 and 7. You need to have your assignments relating to textbook chapters 6 and 7 done by the next class. For those who want to do the extra credit work associated with chapters 6 and 7 in the textbook, see Exhibit 2 in the exhibits accompanying these lectures. This extra credit work should be submitted along with the assignments relating to textbook chapters 6 and 7. In today's class, we consider chapters 8 and 9 in the textbook, along with some supplementary material. Let me begin by highlighting portions from chapter 8. Chapter 8 is entitled The Law of Supply and Demand. It begins in considering the law of demand. It says this about the law of demand. The law of demand states that buyers of a good will purchase more of the good if its price is lower, and vice versa. If the price of strawberries decreases from $2 per pound to $1 per pound, consumers will buy more strawberries. The law of demand holds, as economists say, ceteris paribus, or assuming other relevant variables remain constant. Demand data can be graphed in a diagram. The two variables to consider are the price of the product and the amount of the product purchased during a certain period of time. Economists usually measure the price of the good on the vertical axis and the quantity on the horizontal one. In the diagram, which you will see in your textbook on page 45, two points are plotted for a particular product. For example, it gives the case of, a hockey game, a ticket price. At ticket prices of $7, 13 tickets are sold, and at $14 per ticket, only 6 seats are sold. Other points can be plotted, and a line of a curve or curve can be connected through these points to come up with this goods demand curve. Individual product curves always extend from the upper left to the lower right. In other words, they are downward sloping. So students will want to study this particular graph. It is the graph of a standard demand curve, and it slopes downward. The chapter, of course, also considers the law of supply. The law of supply states that product suppliers or firms offer more of a product at higher than at lower prices. So it's just the opposite of the law of demand. If the product price is high, the firm can make greater profits by selling more, assuming the cost of production is constant and the demand for the product is there. A product for which the demand is high and therefore the price as well will be supplied at greater quantities because the higher price makes firms want to supply more. A supply curve then is upward sloping from the bottom left of the graph to the upper right of the graph. You will see a sample supply curve on page 46 in your textbook. And as you will see there, the supply curve is upward sloping. Now, obviously, a supplier is willing to provide more of a product if that supplier can make more money per unit of product sold. And so that is why the supply curve slopes upward. In a free market, competitive and with no government involvement, the equilibrium price and quantity occur where the supply and demand curves intersect. At this price, in other words, at the equilibrium price, what's called the equilibrium price, consumers are willing to buy the same amount which businesses are willing to offer. If the price were below this intersection point, a shortage would exist. If the price were above equilibrium, we would experience a surplus. And if you look at the graph on page 46 in your textbook, you will see why this is the case. For instance, in this example, if you look on page 46 in your textbook at this sample graph, at $14, suppliers are willing to provide more product than customers will demand. And so there's what is called a surplus at that price. Whereas if the price were $7 per unit, the quantity demanded by customers would be more than that which suppliers would be willing to offer to the public. And therefore, there would be a shortage of what is called a shortage of product. But what happens in a competitive marketplace, a free marketplace, is the price settles at what is called the equilibrium price. In this case, in the graph, $11, that equilibrium price, that, in other words, where that price at which the quantity supplied equals the quantity demanded. And you will notice in this graph that the equilibrium quantity is 9. So it is important that you understand about the equilibrium price and quantity and how it is the intersection point of the supply curve and the demand curve. Just going on to highlight some more aspects of this chapter. The demand schedule or curve does not always stay in the same position. The following are reasons why it may change. In other words, why demand increases or decreases. These are called demand determinants, by the way. And here are some of the reasons why the demand curve would change. First is a change in buyers' incomes and wealth. The demand for most products will go up if buyers' real incomes or real wealth rises. However, and this is the case for normal goods, it should be pointed out, however, that in the case of what are called inferior goods, and it gives the example of things like potatoes, or certain more in what would be considered inferior products, inferior goods, the demand for the product actually decreases as the income of customers increases. So with inferior goods, demand decreases as income increases. But for normal products, you will have a situation where if people have more money, if they're making more money, then they're going to be demanding more products. A second demand determinant listed here is buyers' religion as well as personal taste and preferences. The religion of buyers as well as their personal taste and preferences will affect the demand of goods and services. For instance, if people were all to convert to Judaism, the market for pork would diminish significantly. As another example, the more that people adopt biblical Christianity and truth, the less demand there will be of such wicked services as gambling and harlotry. But the demand for Bibles, for instance, would increase as the buyer if people turn to the true biblical religion, and therefore one would expect that there would be a higher demand of Bibles, for instance. So buyers' or customers' religion affects the supply curve, as well as just personal taste and preferences in general. If more people, you know how there can be fads in terms of what people like or don't like, and that certainly can change demand at a particular point in time. A third demand determinant listed here is the prices of related products or services. There are several different ways that products can be related. The example given here is potato chips. The demand for it will go down if the price of a related good, for example, pretzels, decreases. So if the price of a substitute falls, then the demand for the product in question drops. So in other words, if something is a substitute, if a product has a substitute and the price of that substitute, let's say, increases, then one can expect that the demand for the original product would increase because it substitutes its competitors, as it were. When their price increased, well, then there was going to be more demand for the product itself. A related good can also, though, be a complement. This is a product consumed not in the place of or substitute, but along with another good. A drop in the price of potato chips is expected to increase the demand for potato chips. I'm sorry, let me repeat that. A drop in the price of potato chip dip is expected to increase the demand for potato chips. In other words, if it's the product is a complement of this other product, then the two's welfare is really tied together. And so if the price of this complement increases, well, that's going to have the effect of tending to decrease the demand for the related product. A fourth demand determinant listed is buyer's expectation of the product's future price. When a supermarket, for example, announces that potato chips will become more expensive in the near future, more people will tend to buy the product now and vice versa. So buyer's expectation affects things. Also, the number of buyers affects the demand curve. So those are just some of the factors that can, what are called the demand determinants, which can influence how the demand curve looks at a particular point in time. Now, economists distinguish between a change in demand and a change in quantity demanded. And it's very important that students understand this distinction. Demand increases or decreases when the demand curve itself shifts. This occurs because of the demand determinants changing. But quantity demanded decreases or increases because the price of the product change. In other words, quantity demanded is only affected by price change, whereas the demand curve itself shifts based upon the demand determinants that we discussed. Now, just as demand may shift, so may supply. Supply shifts as a result of supply determinants. And here are some reasons why there may be, here are some of the supply determinants. First, advance in technology. Obviously, an advance in the technology of making a product will lower the cost of producing it. This means that firms will want to supply more of the product. The prices of inputs necessary to make the product. These are often called the factors of production. Anyway, when the input prices of labor or raw materials go down, the firm can make more profit per product and will want to increase the supply of the product. A third is taxes and subsidies. Taxes tend to depress, the higher taxes get, they tend to depress the supply of a particular product. Whereas if there are government subsidies for the production of a certain good, they tend to enhance or increase the supply. A fourth supply determinant is the number of firms selling the product. And a fifth is the moral righteousness of workers. As moral righteousness increases, there is an increase in the supply of a product that can be produced due to less waste of time on the job and more diligence, less theft, and so forth. On the other hand, the moral righteousness of workers can decrease the supply of certain goods or services. For example, there would hopefully be less of a supply of let's say brothels or gambling houses as moral righteousness of the population increased. So there can be a decrease in the supply of goods and services, certain goods and services, when the moral righteousness of the workers is improved. Note that any of the above changes will bring about a shift in the supply curve. The distinction between supply and quantity supplied is analogous to the difference between demand and quantity demanded. And it's very important that you understand that distinction, the distinction that economists make between supply and quantity supplied. Again, quantity supplied is, again, as economists define it, is only affected by price changes. In summary, supply and demand are influenced by various factors. Factors affecting supply are called supply determinants, and factors affecting demand are called demand determinants. Supply and demand determinants are non-price factors which cause changes in the supply and demand curves respectively. We have distinguished between supply and demand versus quantity supplied and quantity demanded. It is good to practice graphing how supply and demand curves change with different scenarios. The different scenarios involve changes, and I would like to give you actually two different scenarios, and you try to consider how you would yourself graph or plot out the changes in the supply and demand curves. It's good to practice graphing changes in supply and demand curves with changes in supply and demand determinants. This is a skill that you need to try to gain in terms of learning the discipline of economics. So let me give you two scenarios where certain supply or demand determinants change, and then you try to graph what these supply and demand curves would do on a sheet of paper. Again, this is just for yourself. You don't need to turn it in to the teacher, but just try yourself. And then after you have tried, look at Exhibit 11 in the exhibits accompanying these lectures to see if you correctly were able to graph the changes. Okay, let me now read to you the two scenarios. Scenario one. Suppose that you know that consumers' incomes have gone up and that an advance in technology has lowered the cost of making computers. Assuming that a computer is a normal good, what will happen to the price and quantity of computers as a result of the above two changes? So that's scenario one, and you should try to on a graph, prepare the movement of the supply and demand curves based upon the scenario I just described. Now, let me give you scenario number two. Buyers expect videotapes to be higher, and at the same time, the government decides to tax the production of videotapes. What effect does this have on the market price and output of videotapes? So for this scenario number two, try to prepare a graph showing the changes in supply and demand curve. And again, look at then after you have drawn it, actually try to do both scenarios, draw the graphs, and then look at Exhibit 11 to see the answer as far as how the graph should look. On your own, you might as well want to think up other scenarios in which demand and supply determinants change and try graphing the supply and demand curves for them. Such graphs will help you determine how the equilibrium price and the equilibrium quantity will change under different scenarios when there are, again, these changes to some supply and demand determinants. All right. Now let's turn to chapter 9 in your textbook. Chapter 9 in your textbook. We've now discussed the law of supply and demand, which was the chapter 8 topic. Now chapter 9 discusses the effect on demand of price and income changes. Different goods and services, I'm going to do some highlights from this chapter. Different goods and services are affected in different ways by price and income changes. Some goods and services respond much more sharply to price changes than other goods and services. Those whose quantity demanded is sharply affected by price changes are said to be highly price elastic, whereas those whose quantity demanded is generally unaffected by price changes are said to be price inelastic. Hence, elasticity measures exactly how much less people buy of a good or service when the price rises, or vice versa. Price elasticity of demand is defined as the percentage change in quantity demanded divided by the percentage change in the price of the product. It's important that you be able to calculate price elasticity of demand. And again, the way it's calculated is this way. You take the percentage change in quantity demanded and you divide it by the percentage change in the price of the product. Now, in your textbook, chapter 9, there is an example given, and that example should help you better understand exactly how this can be relevant in terms of calculating for a given scenario. Okay, let's say you have a product and the price rises on that product from $15 to $17. How does that affect the quantity demanded? Now, there are different determinants of price elasticity of demand because different products have different price elasticity of demand. And the determinants of the price elasticity of demand of a given good or service are at least these three factors: the availability of close substitutes, the second, the importance of the product's cost in one's budget, and third, the period of time under consideration. With respect to the period of time under consideration, if you're looking at the demand for gasoline over only one day, people will react less strongly to a price increase than if you study the effect of a price increase in gasoline over a period of 2 years. This is because people have much more time to adjust their consumption in 2 years than in one day. Over the course of 2 years, you may have the ability to move closer to work or school. You might buy a more fuel-efficient car or so forth. Whereas if the price goes up tomorrow, you really don't have time to make huge changes necessarily in your lifestyle or in what you have. So those are the three determinants of the price elasticity of a demand of a given product. A product is said to be price elastic when the elasticity is greater than one. A product is said to be price inelastic when the elasticity is less than one. And a product is unitary elastic when the elasticity is equal to one. Note that if elasticity is greater than one, in other words, if it is a price elastic, the percentage change in quantity is greater than the percentage change in price. So the numerator in this calculation is bigger than the denominator. For example, if a product's price rises by 13%, and the quantity demanded goes down by more than 13%, then this product is called price elastic. Now, okay, so we've discussed price elasticity of demand. There is also something called income elasticity of demand. Income elasticity of demand measures the change in people's purchase of a product or service as a result of a change in their income. For example, if your income rises by 10% and you decide to buy 20% more bananas, we can conclude that the income elasticity of demand is 2. And again, the way that is calculated is we take the percentage change in demand, or quantity demanded, and divide that by the percentage change in income. Now, in the case of an inferior good, if your income rises by 50%, you might buy 25% fewer hamburgers. Remember, with an inferior good, quantity demanded actually decreases as the income rises. And so, taking that example of hamburgers, if your income rises by 50%, and you buy 25% fewer hamburgers, the income elasticity of demand is -1/2. Be sure not to leave off the minus sign in the above example, because income elasticity of demand can be either positive in the case of a normal good or negative with an inferior product. The sign of either positive or negative must be indicated, unlike with price elasticity of demand, which is always expressed as a positive number. Again, because with price elasticity of demand, it's virtually always the case that the quantity demanded decreases as the price increases. So if you showed a sign, it would always be negative, but since it's always assumed to be negative, you don't show a sign in front of the price elasticity of demand figure. All right, just again to summarize with regards to the issue of this issue of price elasticity of demand, a product is price elastic when the elasticity is greater than 1. A product is price inelastic when the elasticity is less than 1. And a product is unitary elastic when the elasticity is equal to 1. Note that if elasticity is greater than 1, in other words, it's elastic, the percentage change in quantity is greater than the percentage change in price. Okay, now, in a future course, we are going to be considering more in depth, in a future class, we are going to be considering more in depth different economic markets of firms. Some firms enjoy a monopoly in their industry such that they face no competitors, but other firms experience almost perfect competition because of the large number of competitors in their industry. An example of the former, that is of a monopoly, might be an electrical utility that has been given a monopoly in a given region, while an example of the latter might be a corn farmer in Illinois who has many, many competitors, also other farmers producing corn. Now, assuming people really need for their survival the product or service provided by the firm, what do you think the demand curve would look like for a monopolist? Think about it. What we said was, of course, a demand curve is downward sloping. But the degree of that slope can vary depending upon the nature of the service being offered and whether it is being supplied by a monopolist or it is in the case of a perfect competition. So what do you think the demand curve would look like for a monopolist? In other words, how much would consumers change in their demand for, let's say, electrical utilities, electricity, if the price changed? And you compare that, though, what do you think the demand curve would look like for a firm in a purely competitive industry? What would it tend to look like? And what would the demand curves for these two types of firm suggest about the price elasticity of their demand curves? So how would you how would the quantity of demanded be affected by a price change by the firm? In other words, these are questions that I'd like you to consider. Let me just read for you a paragraph relating to firms which are in pure or perfect competition. The demand curve for a firm facing perfect competition is horizontal or perfectly elastic because the output which the firm produces is insignificant compared to the total market size. Thus, the firm is able to sell any number of products at the same price. It must adhere to the market price, though. If it charges a higher price, consumers or customers will buy the product from a competitor down the road. The more substitutes, the higher the price elasticity, and the flatter the demand curve. A firm cannot sell the product at a lower price either because then it will lose money and go out of business. There is just very much less margin of profitability in a purely competitive industry, so suppliers cannot afford to decrease their profit. So again, what you have is with in a perfect competition market, you're going to tend to have closer to perfect elasticity, whereas you're going to have more price inelasticity of demand in cases where you have a monopolist. Now, another concept you should be aware of under the general topic of elasticity is something called the cross-price elasticity of demand. In the case of a product which has a substitute, for instance, Pepsi is a substitute for Coke and Coke is a substitute for Pepsi, the price change of one product affects the quantity demanded of the other. Cross-price elasticity of demand measures this effect. The formula for cross-price elasticity of demand is this. This is how you calculate it. The percentage change in the quantity demanded of some product divided by, let's say, some product A, divided by the percentage change in the price of a substitute product B. So again, what we would expect is, and with respect to cross-price elasticity of demand, is that if the price of a substitute went up, then the quantity demanded of that which it is a substitute for would tend to increase. In other words, because people wouldn't want to buy this substitute as much, so the quantity demanded of product A would increase. So it's important that under this general topic of elasticity of demand, that you understand the concept of cross-price elasticity of demand as well as income elasticity of demand as well as price elasticity of demand. This then completes class number 4. The assignments for textbook chapters 8 and 9 are due by class number 6. Those who want to do the extra credit work associated with textbook chapters 8 and 9 should do the work described in Exhibit 3.